The Journey of My Heart, Passages from the Diary of a Pilgrim to Sri Ramanashramam, continued from the July-August 1998 issue. 19th of January 1983, Sri Ramanashramam. Today, I met again with Ramaswamy Pillai and we talked for 2 hours. Do you think it is important that we live with few possessions? I asked him. You must not make an effort to live with or without possessions. You must live with the conditions that prevail. The mental state alone is important. However, you must not have or be a slave to any want. Really, you only should have what is necessary for keeping body and soul together and in good health. Also, you should not associate with all kinds of people. Then he again spoke of the path of self-inquiry. In the path of surrender, the ego can very easily remain. However, Bhagavan has said that real surrender can come only when we know, who am I? You have convinced me that I must try to do self-inquiry in a serious way, I replied. I shall miss Paul and you, he said. As a boy, I would beg our guests, take me with you. I would run down the road after them, crying until I felt satisfied. During Bhagavan's time, I would have to accompany devotees to the train. I especially loved those devotees. This afternoon at 5 p.m., Kunjiswami, Natesan and I climbed the hill. Rather than follow the path to Skandashrama, we took the path to the left and sat together on a rock. Kunjiswami told me as if a deep voice from within me spoke, when a person follows the path of devotion, obstacles will arise. In his own life, the moment he saw Bhagavan's picture, he had a great desire to come to Bhagavan. At that time, his teacher, a man with whom he was studying, Kaivalya Navanida and other works, vehemently opposed his going to Bhagavan. He even threatened that some ill would befall him if he went to Bhagavan. In course of time, the teacher had to go away and Kunjiswami, without his knowing, came to Bhagavan. Ultimately, the teacher also came, realized Sri Bhagavan's greatness and entrusted Kunjiswami lovingly to Bhagavan's care. If your lakshya, aim or goal is Bhagavan alone, everything else will fall into place. Kunjiswami emphasized, but there will be obstacles. If your lakshya is something small or trivial, it may be missed. But if your aim is the mountain, which is so great, you cannot miss it. Be like the mountain, calm, immovable. Now, a worldly example. We have Sri Ramanashramam. While all sorts of things may happen in the ashram, it is not run by any individual. Sri Bhagavan's divine Shakti alone runs the ashram. Similarly, in any of the Bhagavan's ashrams, no single individual runs the ashram. Regardless of whoever may leave, Sri Bhagavan will continue his work and the ashram will also continue. In this context, your attitude toward all humanity should be one of brotherhood and of natural and spontaneous friendliness. You should not hate or harbor a single bad thought for anyone, nor should you allow a single thought about whether or not someone likes you. It is completely immaterial. Whoever comes or goes an ashram established in the name of Sri Bhagavan and Sri Arunachala must grow. There is not the least doubt about it. I have admired Bhagavad. He continued, I wondered what tapasya he must have done to attract such people as you and to send you all here. It is remarkable. Yet, whatever happens, you must remember your lakshya of Sri Arunachala and be calm with your mind at the feet of Bhagavan. 20th of January 1983, Ramaswamy shared with me a few details about his personal life. He came to Bhagavan at the age of 25. At the age of 31 or 32, he was living in a temple in a village when he became mad with ecstasy. He said, "It was evening about 6 o'clock when I had that first experience. I was surprised, not shocked. There was consciousness as though I was being told, 'This is what you sought.' It lasted only a few minutes at first. Later, the experience would return." What is the meaning of this coming and going of this experience? I thought, I want it when I want it. Then I got it. I was in that state for 3 months. I was like a mad fellow wearing a dirty loincloth, and I didn't bathe. I wouldn't enter into any houses. If I got some hunger, I would beg for food. Happy is not the word to express that state. Ecstatic is also inadequate. That experience is still there with me, like an undercurrent. Some devotees came and took to Bhagavan. At that time, I got the confirmation that it is that. I came with only one loincloth and ate in his presence. When I arrived, he was sitting on the sofa, and it somehow appeared to me as if he was sitting there waiting for me. If I am Bhagavan's devotee, to deal with me is more dangerous than to deal with Bhagavan. I may forgive, but Bhagavan will not. Your business is with the thinker, not with thoughts. Whenever your attention is given to thoughts, you must return it to the thinker. Ramaswamy turned his attention to my picture of Bhagavan and said, "You may become calm and peaceful by looking into Bhagavan's eyes. In the hall, we would sit and gaze on his eyes. He would not blink. It is something like a child sucking from the mother's breast. The child is not exactly awake. It is blissful. It ingests the milk without swallowing. The mother's love is so great. The milk flows in a current to the child. In the same manner, we receive the current of grace from Bhagavan's eyes. Bhagavan's grace is so great, you cannot escape it." 20th of January 1983, afternoon. With bananas and puffed rice in hand, I ran up to the ashram for an ox cart pradakshina with Kunjaswamy, Ganesan and Pal. Climbing aboard, the four of us sat cross-legged. Ganesan first, then Kunjaswamy, me, and Paul at the back. Side by side, we bumped blissfully down the road. Kunjaswamy explained how it could be that many of Bhagavan's direct disciples, apparently out of their mind at the time of death, would be alert and clear in their recollection of Bhagavan. Moreover, they would reassure Ganesan that Bhagavan's grace was with them and they experienced the awareness of him within. The mere contact with Bhagavan was sufficient to awaken divine knowledge in a person. Kunjaswamy said, "Knowledge of the world is a separate thing, which may be affected at the time of death. The inner awakening might not be apparent during one's life due to the person's vasanas. Particularly in one's last days, many vasanas may have to come forth. The mind may become irrational, but it is the finite mind." Kunjaswamy reassured us, "Don't think that because you didn't see Bhagavan in the body, that same inner awakening has not occurred to you. It is written, even to think of Arunachala assures one of liberation. But for thinking of Arunachala, you do not get the credit." He was speaking in a playful, exuberant vein. "No, Arunachala makes the person remember him. Such is the power and greatness of Arunachala that even the most ignorant person, once having known of it, will have to think at least once a day of Arunachala." Kunjaswamy continued his encouraging overflow. "Once a person has come to Bhagavan, he cannot escape. In the marital garland of letters, Bhagavan wrote, 'I had but thought of you as a rune, and lo, In the marital garland of letters, Bhagavan wrote, I had but thought of you as Arun, and lo, I was caught in the net of your grace. Can the web of your grace ever fail? Oh, Arunachala. In Tamil, the emphasis here is on the fact that the net of Bhagavan's grace cannot be escaped. I am very happy and content to be caught in the net of his grace, I said. Kunjiswami laughed, concluded in the March-April issue.